Hey, good morning, everyone. So I'm coming to you looking quite lovely. We had bad storms last night. I appreciate everybody checking on us. We actually fared very well over here. It passed where I used to live is pretty much where everything got hit harder. So I've checked on my brother. They actually had to go. They had to go get in a safe place. It hit pretty close to them. And one of my girlfriends, one of her kids' elementary schools got hit really hard. They're just out of electricity, but they're doing okay. And then I've got one other girlfriend I haven't talked to yet. So a lot of people I know, not a lot, but several of the people that I know live on the side of town where all that happened. And we have not heard from Chris's parents yet, who live in Putnam County, which is another county that got hit really hard. So we're checking in with them this morning. But Chris and I slept through it. We heard all of the, like, it was thunderstorms and all that kind of stuff. So we heard all of it, but we never even got tornado sirens on our side of town. So it just depends on, Nashville's kind of splayed out really, it's a really big area. So like if you're in the, you know, like where I'm at, my brother lives it's a good 45 minute drive just to get to him. And so my girlfriend, where the school hit, she's like a good 50 minutes from us. So like if you, Nashville's one of those places where you have like Nashville and then you have a lot of surrounding counties where people have, you know, where it's grown so big that we all live in like surrounding counties. So I live basically what used to just be all farmland. I mean, it was nothing out here. I remember when I was a kid, I mean, there was literally nothing in Nolensville, and now it's very developed and all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to talk to you guys though. I've been thinking about doing this video for a while, and I thought, well, this morning, rather than going in and type, I can't even tell you how many text messages and different people reaching out to see if we're doing okay. And I thought, well, it might be easier just to shoot a quick video, at least get the tribe settled before I start settling the rest of the world. A lot of you have been asking about, so there's this concept. Y'all know that every day we ask you to put inside your planner, you know, what is the thought you're going to work on believing today? And I watch a lot of you plug the same thought in all the time, and you pick one that's what I would call reachy. You know, it's like, well, if I could believe anything, I would believe this. Or like if I read it out loud, it would sound very scholarly and sound very like, you know, impressive and all these things. And it doesn't sound like something that you would just think. Like it never, like not never, but a lot of times when you guys are talking about a thought you're working on believing, you word it and you do it in such a way as if there's some kind of like magic syntax that needs to go to it and all this other stuff. And what I've noticed is that for a lot of you, you're not practicing, like the thought that I want to believe today doesn't really have anything to do with debunking an excuse or a justification or something that that you're believing all the time or that you are thinking all the time. So I've really been like mulling this over. And one of the things that like I was going to suggest you guys do is go through your discovery worksheets. This is where you know, like your discovery worksheets will tell you the very thoughts you need to be working on first. So for those of you especially who are really diehards about making sure you do your discovery worksheets for every overeat, this is going to be super helpful for you. For those of you who aren't doing discovery worksheets, who just kind of sit around frustrated that you're not getting it and you don't want to do a discovery worksheet because you get pissed or that you think, well, that's a waste of time. Let me just tell you, the people who do discovery worksheets are the ones who are going to solve their problems. The people who avoid them like the plague are the ones who are allowing themselves to be in judgment and not change the relationship they have with themselves and the overeating. People who are doing discovery worksheets are overriding the part of them that wants to think that they're a bad person or that they can't do it or all that helpless bullshit mentality. The person who's doing a discovery worksheet, every single time she does one and every single time that she makes herself do it, she is recreating the version of her that thinks that she's a fuck up. What she's doing is she's like, oh, a discovery worksheet can't make me feel bad. and overeat can't make me feel bad. Every single time I overeat, it's probably because that's the smoke signal that there's a thought error going on. So I should probably do the discovery worksheet to figure out what are the thought errors. Guys, if you want to sit around and be a baby about like, oh, but every time I do one, it just makes me feel bad. Or every time I tell someone, I just feel terrible. Guys, think about this. Would you ever let your child do that? Like, when I'm not good in math and when I do math homework, I just feel terrible about myself. So I'm just going to quit doing all my math homework so I get to feel good. No. You quit doing math homework and then you end up failing and you become dumber. That's what happens. Like, you don't feel better because you avoid things that your brain judges you over. You feel better because you're willing to do the things that your brain judges you over and you rewrite the bullshit you tell yourself over and over and over again. That's how it works. Don't sit there and tell me that, well, I quit looking at success stories because they make me feel bad. It's like, that's an opportunity to understand that I must be telling something terrible to myself, that if somebody else is showing me they know how to lose weight doing this program I'm doing, I should probably ask my fucking question. Not quit looking at it thinking, well, now I'm going to feel so much better. I'm going to feel so much better by getting no information. That does not work. So we go back to the thought we're going to work on each day. One of the things that we really need to do is take a look at what are the usual excuses and justifications and things that get you to overeat? Like, what is it that your brain talks about first? So a really good example is a lot of you will say just a little bit won't hurt. And then you'll kind of like stop the work there, like, I don't know why I keep telling myself that. I know why, because you ain't telling yourself anything different. That's number one. Doesn't take a fucking genius to figure that one out. It's like every time you said a little bit won't hurt and you told yourself, well, all right, from now on, whenever I tell myself that sentence, I also have to tell myself the sentence, a little bit hurts this way. At least I'm having a different conversation. Rather than the conversation of like, a little bit won't hurt, let me just eat, and then never questioning it, and then poo-pooing all over yourself because you keep thinking it over and over again. Guys, the only way thoughts change is with your deliberate action to change them. It is with you deciding that you are going to think differently on purpose, even when it's uncomfortable. Even when you, like, if you get into the middle of the eating, say you say, all right, a little bit won't hurt. And you are like 3/4 of the way through a sheet cake. Guess what? That's the perfect time to tell yourself a little bit does hurt sometimes. Like, you, it's never too late. It's never too early to reframe a thought that you're using on repeat. It's probably, if you've been telling yourself that for 20 years, it's not going to take 3 times and click. It's going to take 30,000 times, but you got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it until you're getting more and more aware. The other thing to do is every single day in your planner, like, especially for those of you who are using like little bitty bullshit sentences, like I have those. I have, a little bit won't hurt. I'll start tomorrow. You know, we can make up for this, like whatever it is, like insert any of those. You need to come up with a thought that you actually want to believe about that thought. So, like, I would put down in my planner every day, if I had been, like, let's say I'm overeating every night at 8 o'clock. And every night at 8 o'clock, my story is I deserve it. Then what I would do is every morning when I'm doing my planner, the thought I'm working on believing is I am not someone who eats at 8 o'clock at night. I deserve to lose my weight. I would make the thought I'm working on believing very targeted to the exact problem my discovery worksheets are showing me is the problem. I would go right in to the face of whatever thought that you have, and I would tell a different story about it. Like, you may have to start with, the thought I'm working on believing is I no longer eat after 8 p.m., even if I'm hungry. Because for a lot of you, like let's say you're trying to solve 8 o'clock at night hunger, a lot of you just ate for so long after 8 o'clock. If you looked at your dinner, you know intellectually you do not need food to go to bed. But your stomach has been conditioned over time to eat at 8 o'clock at night. It will send up hunger signals and it will send up the thoughts. It's going to send up everything. You have habitualized this in your brain and in your belly. It's not going to stop on a dime because you wrote down one day a new sentence. The new sentence anchors you to what you want to start believing and what you're going to work towards, so that in the moment when all that's happening, you're not feeling the old feelings. Now you're feeling the feelings of the new sentence. Sometimes the new sentence, if it's, I no longer eat after 8 p.m., even when I'm hungry, may feel uncomfortable. Especially if you're overriding your hunger signals that are on for no reason. They're on errantly just because they've been trained. So I want you guys to really think about the concept of, you know, when you're writing your thought of the day, like let it go head to head with whatever thing you're working on as your discovery worksheets are telling you. So if you're not doing your discovery worksheets right now, it's probably time to fucking get started doing them. There's nobody that's been in the tribe. Like, if you've been in here since January, we're in March, baby. It's time. Get on the discovery worksheets. Listen to your lessons. We want to be solving the issue of weight loss now. And part of solving it, guys, is always taking a look at what's not working. You want to be able, like, let's say I rando drawed somebody out of the tribe and said, I'm just going to show up at their house and I want to look over all their data. You would want to make sure that I could sit down with you and go over all of your data. And I want you to ask yourself this question. If right now, if I knew Corinne was going to come and see me today and all she was going to be like, I want to spend the whole day with you looking at everything you've done since you've joined the tribe. And I'm pretty sure I can unwind all of it for you. Would you be excited and prepared, or would you be like, shit, that's a wasted opportunity? Because here's the thing, what I teach you to do in the tribe by collecting all this data is how to go through all of it, is how to look at all of it. When you're collecting your data, when you're doing your plan, or when you're doing discovery worksheets, you're illuminating the path to every single thing you need to learn in order to lose all of your weight. That's what all this is about. If you go through the accountability program, right now, the first half of it is all about loving yourself enough to not judge yourself. Once you do that piece, every single discovery worksheet and every single plan becomes a pathway to get to where you want to go. And it does not mean they're perfect. It means that you're willing to look at what's not happening so that you can figure out new strategies, new thoughts, new things you need to be doing. All right, let's see if anybody has any questions. If you got any questions, I don't have somebody. I know my hair is lovely, y'all. If you have any questions, will you put the hashtag ask? And I don't think we do. I think everybody was just telling me that they're happy to see me safe. Yeah, this morning it was crazy. But if you have a quick question, if you'll answer it now or ask it now, then I'll do it. If not, I'll give you guys like a minute. I know sometimes there's a lag. But my plan this morning is I've got two podcasts to write. So Kathy and I are teaching the three-day relationships weekend this weekend. So everybody's coming to Nashville. I'm telling you, between coronavirus and tornadoes, traveling right now around Nashville is probably way wicked fun. But we're all fine. Where our hotel is, it's all fine. And I'm actually going to Vegas next weekend, not this weekend, but next. So I figure if I can go to Vegas, anybody can come to Nashville and travel with the coronavirus. Take tissues, wash your hands good. I was telling Logan today, I said, just baby, when you're in school, make sure you're washing your hands real hard And I was like, I gave him some tissues. And I said, when you need to open doors, use the tissue and then throw it away. I was like, other than that, eat healthy, drink a lot of water, and you'll be fine. Because he was all like freaking out about the news and everything. And I said, we're going to be okay. On discovery worksheets, how do I get past I ate it because I wanted it? I just got through talking about that. That is a really good example of the thought that you need to be working on is I don't eat because I want it anymore. That's your thought every single day. Like in the moment, of course you want it. I'm going to tell you, I don't see anybody in here going, oh my God, Corinne, I have got this terrible, horrible cauliflower head problem. I see cauliflower and I just got to get down on it. I just want it. No. You don't. So the thing for you is like, sometimes we are going to want things. That is okay. But what you need to do is start working on the thought, like, I am not someone who eats it just because they want it. I plan for things. I'm a planner, not a wanter anymore. It doesn't mean that you won't want it. And that's where, like, I taught you guys, like, if you notice a pattern in your eating, say like, you know, my eating at night is always because I just want it. Then what you need to do is you need to go back away from nighttime and you need to not just sit there and bellyache about wanting it and wishing that you didn't want stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's like, that's such wasted energy. That's like a kid sitting through high school going, I just wish it was over, and they're a freshman. Well, they can spend the next 4 years wishing high school was over and that they didn't have to go to class every day and stuff, but that's bullshit. So what would you tell them? Work on the identity of being someone who's going to go to school and get it done. Same thing with you. It's like you need to think about, all right, if my pattern is to tell myself, I just want it, then ask yourself, so do I notice a pattern in times? If I'm noticing it certain times, why do I just want things? Then this is a really good exercise for all of you who think about just wanting it, is to go through and identify, are there certain times, like, are there times a day where you do just want it and you don't eat it, and why? So, like, for me, one of the things that I know is, like, I may just want to eat whatever at 8 o'clock in the morning, but most of the time I don't. Now, at 8 o'clock at night, it might be harder. So you need to figure out, why is it harder? When you ask yourself, what is the difference between wanting something when people are around and when they're not around? What is the difference between wanting it at night and not wanting it in the morning? What are the differences? Whatever you write, I'm going to tell you right now, is a collection of your thoughts. It is not circumstances. I will promise you, especially for those of you who are binge eaters or secret eaters, this is what I'll see you doing. You'll say, like, well, I just don't eat around other people. That's why I don't want it. Like, if I want it, it's easy to say no because I don't eat those foods around other people. That's a thought, not a fact. A lot of you was like, no, it's a fact. And it's like, no, that's a thought you have that about you, that you don't eat food around other people, that you're using to not eat when you want something. So that already right there shows you the power of your brain, that if you make up a decision around food, then you've got to make another decision in other areas, and you've got to figure out what that decision's going to be. So drawing out those things is super helpful. But like, if you just want it, I would do the work away from it. I would be asking myself, you know, what are the foods I typically want? And when I see those foods, what are the things I need to be telling myself? What is, you know, do I want to be someone who eats just because they want it? If not, why? If so, how can I be that person and lose weight? Like, asking good questions like that. And the reason why we do it separate from, like, in the moment is because in the moment, your old thought patterns and your old feelings and your brain is going to run on just automatic. Its job is to do it the way it's always done. So it's going to happen fast unless you're doing work away from it that makes those moments stand out more for you. So that you're so familiar with the sentences, you're so familiar with the circumstances, you're so familiar with all the things that before you even get to it, you're thinking, this is when I would typically just eat something I want. And I've been thinking about it and practicing, and this is the stuff that I really want to be thinking. Doesn't mean that moment is going to be easy, but it also means that it won't be on repeat anymore. It will allow you to exercise some control. And then if in those moments, when you get there, if you're noticing that they're really hard, then you need to start looking at, what is it that I'm thinking that makes these moments so hard? Because if I know I don't want to be someone who eats just because they want it, and I know that these are my patterns and all this other stuff, there has to be a conversation going on in my head that's probably punitive, argumentative, or is straight balls out lies, like, I can't have that. I don't get to eat those things. Like, those kinds of conversations are just the lies we tell ourselves. It's like, yeah, you can have it. Just be honest. The version of you who wants to lose weight didn't plan that shit today. The version of you who's sick and tired of having to do discovery worksheets and waking up each day not losing weight, you know what she said? That's a no. The God's honest truth is, I decided not to have it for probably fucking good reasons. And me sitting around acting like somehow I'm punished, deprived, restricted, or whatever, as if I'm some starving child in another third world country, that would be the bullshit lie I tell myself. Me feeling deprived, sitting around in the United States because I can't have a sheet cake when everybody else is having it, probably not as dramatic as I'm making it in this moment. I'm just having normal wants and desires for cake. Like, being willing to have those conversations, being willing to like listen to your self-talk, having new conversations with yourself, that's where the key is. Let me see, there was a couple of others. I'm gonna see if I can scroll back up. So what do you do in the moment when you feel like you can't talk yourself out of wanting it? You don't talk yourself out of wanting it. Like, I would just sit there and be like, I'm gonna want the fuck out of this. But why did I plan not to have it to begin with? I would have that conversation. I'd quit expecting to quit wanting it. I'd start expecting myself to be like, yeah, of course I want it. But you've got to have a lot of this conversation outside of the moment. Like, in the moment, you've got to be willing to slow it down. You got to like ask yourself, like, if you normally eat like an asshole on Saturday night, then you know what on Wednesday morning you need to be doing? Thinking, visualizing, like going through your brain as to what's going to happen on Saturday night. I'm going to want it really bad. I'm going to want to override every piece of good common sense I've got. It's going to happen fast. All these things. So if I don't want that to happen and all I want is some basic, I feel denied, then be honest, like, all right, I'm going to feel denied because I know in my head I am saying no in the moment that I really want it. But you get to lessen the temperature. You don't have to sit there and allow yourself to tell yourself bullshit and just say, like, you know, sometimes it's not fun to sit and watch other people eat. And it's not fun to sit and watch other people eat, not because of the circumstance of watching or the action. You know why it's not fun? Because I'm thinking something that makes this unfun. That's it. You don't have to have a good time in the moment, but you need to at least be aware that not having something isn't what makes you feel bad. Not having something is the circumstance, y'all. And then you have thoughts and feelings about not having it, that either your action line is going to be eat or not eat. That's it. So, like, you have to get to the point where you're just willing to be truthful and honest with yourself. A lot of you, the hardest part of the weight loss is you're lying to yourself all the time. I can't have this. It's unfair. My weight will never come off. This is taking too long. All of that is a lot of lying that you allow yourself and will argue with me that's true. I'm like, none of that's true. It's a miserable load of shit you repeat all the time and then go to work on figuring out how to make it true and then argue with me that it is and that you should be in immense pain. Like, that part sucks. Stop doing that part. Like, just tell yourself the truth. I did not plan for this. When I got here, yes, other people are going to be eating things. And you know what? If I have a shitty experience around it, it's because I am thinking shitty things. If I feel terrible, it's because I am choosing terrible thoughts. If I'm nervous, I am having thoughts that make me nervous. Like, for most of you, before you even get to the point to where you have, like, new thoughts that make you feel good, be in the phase of honesty. It's amazing to me how hard it is for a lot of you just to be honest with yourself. That's why I don't want you guys going to intentional models. Your intentional model, number one, for a lot of you with the same kinds of excuses and justifications, the feeling should be honesty. Because you think, if it was all easy, then I would just lose weight. That's not the way life is. I'm just going to say, it's not. It's like, if you have hopes, dreams, and goals, and you're wanting to do something you've never been able to do before, you have to work. It's not all perfect, and it doesn't all feel good. For some reason, I want you to think about everything you've done in your life, whether you've gone out and gotten a new job, you like have a baby. Like, think about just all the things that we do in life. There's not one place where we sit around and think it's all supposed to be perfect and easy, except when it comes to weight loss. Every single time it's hard or whatever, we think something's gone wrong. It's like nobody has a newborn and then is like, what happened? This thing cries? What? Nobody told me that part. You mean these things get sick? Sometimes they grow up and don't like you much and through the middle years? Holy fuck. No. So what we do is, but we do this with our weight loss. We're like, nobody told me that when I stop eating at 8 o'clock every night, that I might freak out. Of course you're going to freak out. But the problem is that you guys believe the freak out and think you need to not be freaking out in order to be successful, rather than like, I'm freaking out because I'm learning the conversations that I have with myself. The only thing that's going wrong here right now is I haven't identified how I speak to myself. And once I identify how I speak to myself, I can start telling myself the truth. Then once I'm really good at telling myself the truth, then I get to work on more lush thoughts while the whole time I've been collecting wins. Let's see, on the hunger scale, I've been not eating until I've been getting dizzy and nauseous because I'm not feeling tummy hungry. Am I waiting till I'm, yes. Nowhere in my program do I say I want you waiting until you're dizzy and stuff. That's a no. So you need to eat before that. You need to go to the No BS phase one. There is a hunger scale check sheet that has all the numbers of the hunger scale with like physical symptoms and different things that you could be feeling. You need to look at that resource so that you can kind of see where you are missing probably some of the more subtle cues of hunger that have nothing to do with the tummy hunger. I've done several videos on this. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if anybody in my team is actually here, but I have actually answered this question before on just like the biggest thing is not everybody gets tummy hunger. Some people get mind hunger first. For me, that's what I get. Like, I don't get tummy hunger very often, but I do get a lot of like, I'll start noticing that I'm tired and I'll start thinking about hunger, and I know that that's when I'm hungry. Let's see. The first 60 days seemed to be easier, I think, because I was learning. Now I've gotten kind of cocky. Needed to hear this today. Dana, let me just clear your thinking up just a little bit. If the first 60 days was easier, it wasn't because you were learning. Learning is on the action line. It was because you had thoughts about the first 60 days that allowed you to feel ease, which opened up the action of learning. Now, like whatever, like if you feel cocky, I'm not really sure what that, I've gotten kind of cocky. Usually cocky is going to be an action like, you know, like I'm pushing the boundaries of eating or whatever it is. That's because your thoughts about your weight loss here in PNP have changed. So what I would do is I would make a list of here are all the things that I thought the first 60 days that made it feel easy. And when it felt easy, these were the things I was doing. Now, here are the things that I'm doing that are different than the first 60 days. What am I thinking and feeling that's causing that? Because that will be the difference. It's always going to be the thinking and the feeling drives actions, guys. And some people, like, it was the opposite for me. That's how we know the first 60 days aren't easy or the first 60 days aren't hard. There's just 60 days. That's all we got, guys. You guess what we got now? The next 30. So how are you going to think and how are you going to feel about the next 30 days? Are you going to drag your bullshit from the first 60 over with you? Like, oh, it was so hard. I bet it means I'm behind, or, you know, like all that crap you guys will tell yourself. And I'm like, why would you ever think you're going to lose weight setting yourself up for the next 30 to suck based on judgment of your past? Never works, ever. And yet you all want to do it so bad. It's like, what do you want out of the next 30 days? And I don't mean weight loss. How do you want yourself to feel? How do you want yourself to show up? What results do you want out of the next 30 days? What are you willing to do to get there? Make a plan and get started. That's how you do it. It's like, well, I'm going to make sure I drink my water every day. I know that I can for sure drink water. And for the next 30 days, I think I can just pay attention to the hunger scale. I didn't really do that the first 60. So this 30 days, I'm all about making sure I stop eating before I'm full. And I'm going to go after it all month long. I'm going to pay attention. And when I eat over, I'm going to make notes about the thoughts that I had. I'm going to learn so much about myself this month, all about my plus two. That's my goal. You'll probably lose weight doing that. If you don't fall, like, you guys fall into the trap of, I'm going to make a plan. And then at the first sign that it goes like shit, like, I don't do what I said I would do, I must be broken. Something must be wrong with me. No. Next lesson learned. I need to learn more about how to stop. I need to plan it on purpose, whatever it is. All right. Let's see. Thinking about going back and re-listening to the 60 days, thoughts. Yeah, I would. If you liked them, I'd listen to them. Just listen to them over again. They're all over. Guys, if you're wondering, well, how do you listen to the first 60 again? If you go to the PNPtribe.com, go to the video replays, there is a section for like replays by category. There's one called the first 60 days. I think it's the, if you're on your phone, you'll have to scroll down. I think it's the third one. If you're on your desktop, I believe it's the third button to the right, and it's called hashtag first 60 days. They're in there in order, so you can listen to them every single day if you want to. That'd be great. We are, for all of you who are asking, we're going to have some videos this month also coming out that kind of support the accountability program. And then the next time we have newbies, I don't know if we're doing the first 60 days over, but we're definitely going to be doing something very similar to it, where we're going to be having some pre-recorded releases with you guys that really support whatever we're studying that month or whatever. Like, I want to say, don't quote me on this, but I almost think April we are doing videos all around, I think it's just about the hunger scale. I think we're going to take a deep dive into hunger and the hunger scale. And this month, everything is around that conversation you're having with yourself in your head. So a lot of like what I talked about today is one of the reasons why I wanted to do a video today, is because we want to make sure that you guys really understand that nothing happens unless you clean up how you're thinking and feeling. And we just have to work on that and work on that and work on that. And that will be the work of your life. This is not going to be something that you figure out how to do one day, and then all of a sudden, all you're thinking and feeling is lush and cashmere. It's just not. I have plenty. I'm going to tell you right now, I've already had two big circumstances happen this morning, not including a tornado, that my brain is wound up about. Like, really wound up about. And so I know for me, I'm going to need to thought download. I'm going to need to model. I'm going to need to work it out so that the rest of the day, it's not just sitting there nagging me and me just trying to not think about it. And I watch you guys do that with like your overeats and stuff, is that something will be bothering you or something. Like, I will notice a lot of you will do this. You will have something all day long bothering you. Like something will happen at work or something's going on with your kids and stuff. And you'll just be like, I just don't want to think about it. It just makes me feel so bad. Nothing makes you feel bad. If you feel bad, you got to know I've got a circumstance with some thoughts that need to get in check. Just trying to shove it away all day long is typically what drives you to eat at night, because you've worn yourself out emotionally trying to fight how you're thinking versus looking at how you're thinking and just deciding, you know, what parts can I change and what parts do I just want to own? Otherwise, you sit and you're pushing it away or thinking that thing is making me feel bad. Then that means that all day you've like depleted yourself with resistance, depleted yourself with shoving your feelings away as if they're not there, and they're there. Your brain is smart. They don't go far. And then by the end of the day, you have nothing left emotionally to make choices for yourself. All you're going to think is, I just want to feel good, because you've worked so hard all day long at shoving away your emotions, at trying not to think about something, at victimizing yourself over and over and over again, thinking something's making me feel bad. Yeah, that is the invitation for you deserve it. You just need a break. We just need to feel good thoughts to just come straight to the surface. You're fucking tired. Of course they're going to come up. And then in that moment, you'll want to eat. What is the fastest way to feel good? To do your magic thought download at 8 o'clock at night after you're fucking tired all day long, or just to eat the Cheetos? That's how that shit happens. So like, if you notice that you're one of those people, guys, do like me. Like, the thing I'm going to do when I get off here is immediately spend just 5 minutes looking at the circumstances and figuring out what thoughts I'm having. So I'm not even going to change them. I'm literally just going to look at the thoughts I'm having so that I'm really aware, like, and this is why I'm feeling bad, because I keep thinking this and I keep thinking this. That is enough for me to be like, okay, so nothing's actually horribly wrong here. What's going on is my brain is wanting to freak out about this. That allows me to have some awareness and some compassion for why I'm feeling bad. Then what happens is, while you're doing that all day long, when you're just aware and compassion, guys, that's like a spectator sport. What you guys do is you resist and judge yourself and play victim. And that's like hard. That's like you being in some kind of cutthroat Hunger Games or something. And we don't want to be doing that. So that always works for me until I get to the point to where I've told myself all day long, of course you would feel this way because you're thinking this about this situation. Eventually I'm like, well, what else could I be thinking? Like if I know it's me, is there something like I really want to be thinking about instead? Like, it naturally happens. All right. Okay, I should probably get off here. This ended up being way longer than I needed it to be. I've got to get started for the day. And my back's burning. So I've got the fireplace running, and now my back is pouring sweat. So you guys have a great day. Thank you for indulging me. And I hope this was helpful. And if you have, like we want to spend this month talking about things around the way you talk to yourself and stuff like that. If you have things that you would love for us to do little quick videos on or include in some of our coaching calls and whatnot, you can always send them over. You can post them in the tribe and website, and you can post them in the Facebook group, and you can tag Mary Jo, Heidi, or Missy. And then please don't forget, the July camp is the only camp that we have spots available. I'm getting ready to sell out October. It's got like 3 spots or 5 spots or something like that left. I checked it yesterday. So we're going to go ahead and probably close it down. And then if you want to be able to come to an event this year, you're going to want to make sure you get signed up for July, because we have babies coming in April. We'll be open April 1st through 3rd. And then that's it. We're not doing a long opening this time. And then once they join, a lot of them will take the April slot or the July camp, because that will be the only thing they can sign up for the year. That July is going to be the last event we're going to have for all of 2020. So make sure you get signed up. All right. We'll talk to you later, guys. Bye, y'all.